This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Founder's Story. Something that I want to know is, how do I work with a celebrity? How do I get a famous artist to say yes to collaborating with me? It's something I've always wanted to do. I have my sights set on a few people, but how do I do it? That's why today we have Ben Weiss, the host of Legends and Leaders and the founder of FlightX. He's worked with incredible people like Lil Durk. He had his sneaker and incredible people working on it too. And he's going to dive into all that and share it, the exact secret to success on that. But Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Excited to be here.
So Ben, how did your passion for entrepreneurship begin? What was that spark that you said, you know what, I want to be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, it's a good question. Since I was young, I was always interested in technology and entrepreneurship. I think it started along two different things. One was that, you know, the Steve Jobs book came out by Walter Isaacson. And when that happened, my mom and I were reading that on the porch outside. I used to live in Arizona. I grew up in Phoenix. And there was just so many fascinating things in there about the type of, it wasn't just about making money. It was just the lifestyle that he wanted. He wanted this opportunity to do something bigger than himself, something to change the world, to make a dent in the universe. And that was like pretty inspirational. It was like, wow, this guy could do that through creating really cool consumer products. And also, Daniel, when like the iPod started to come out, and it was just this incredibly beautiful device that was just, I mean, it was gorgeous, you know, from the physical hardware standpoint, the software was really seamless. It worked really well. I saw that and I got one and I was like, wow, this is just incredible. Like, I want to build things like this. Like, this is just so disruptive. It's a small little thing, you know, but it has all this power. You can have so many songs on this and apps and eventually, et cetera. And it also had a camera. It was everything in one. It was like, wow, like you can build something like this. Like, this is what I want to spend my life doing. I want to build impactful consumer products. So that's kind of how it began. And then, you know, I went to college at YU, Yeshiva University in New York, and got a business degree there. And after that happened, I was like, got to make something happen. You know, got to figure out how I want to go on this path. And, you know, fortunately, I went to this birthday party of this guy, Moishe Mana. Moishe Mana is a, for those who don't know, has become a real estate billionaire. And he actually immigrated to the United States and was sleeping on like park benches, like had no money whatsoever. And built up a real estate portfolio by investing in Miami pretty early on and also transforming the area. Like if you ever go to Wynwood, Miami, people have heard of the Wynwood Walls. You know, there are these beautiful paintings and murals all over that. He said he spent like $2 million a year at a point just painting up the area, making it something that people would want to be in. And he throws this free birthday party every year, to my knowledge, every year to really celebrate what he's done in that area and get people into like Wynwood and Miami. And so a friend at the time was like, hey, Ben, why don't you come to this birthday party? There's probably some great connections for you to meet people here. And I was like, okay, you know, let me do that. So, you know, I haven't been to parties really like that at the time. And so I dressed up in a nice suit with a bow tie, you know, like with nice shoes and everything. You know, I didn't know what I was going to expect there, Daniel. So I show up to this party and, you know, it's a fantastic time. And I have a friend who told me to come there was like, hey, let me get you in VIP. So there's like three different VIP sections. He gets me into them. And I basically spend my time networking and trying to connect with the right people and figure out, you know, how to really get an opportunity in this space. And I had some ideas at the time. I didn't really meet anybody in the first section, tried the second section, didn't really meet anybody. And I was like 3 hours into this, you know, at this party. And eventually, right at the end, when I was about to leave, he's like, you got to come into this last section. So I came in and I met this guy who was super connected in hip hop. And through him, we got to Durk and spent like 15 hours on a pitch deck. And so on and so forth, and luckily was able to get it done.
Wow, I mean, there's so many things to dissect there. Steve Jobs, I mean, talk about not going into it just for money, going into it to change the world. So I'm glad that you brought that up. And also saying yes to the meeting. I know so many people that will, they won't do something. They'll say no because they're like, oh, well, what's in it for me, right? Like, what am I going to get out of this? Or it doesn't fit into my day today. Not understanding that if you want to make it happen like you did, you got to go out there and make it happen. And you got to say yes. You got to put yourself in the right people, which means it might be uncomfortable. It might make you feel uncomfortable. So you did that. So what's next? So you did this pitch deck, you pitched him, and then how did you really get this to move to the next level?
Yeah, so I totally agree. You've got to put yourself out there and be willing to take risks. And I, even with like meetings and stuff, like I always am pretty open to taking maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes talking to somebody because you never know what could come of that. So with this case in particular, you know, so I meet this guy, he's well-connected in hip hop. And actually the way he looked at the time was he was wearing shorts and a hoodie. And I'm at this billionaire's birthday party. So I was a little bit like, I don't know if this guy, you know, really fits in here, what's going on, a little different. But I was like, okay, I'll give him a shot. And so we got the meeting with Dirk. I mean, it took some time, but I identified Dirk as somebody who would be a great potential fit because he had a great audience, like 14 million people following him on Instagram at the time, a million likes a post, and he was poised to have potentially the number one album in hip hop at the time. And it actually did become the number one album, his next album after that. So I thought this was a good opportunity. So we had to work through a couple of different people. We get this meeting and, you know, I give it my all. Like, I'm just this young guy, right, and trying to make something happen in the space. And you got this artist here who's, you know, worth millions and become very successful. And so just really told him, like, hey, this is what the opportunity is. If you're not going to get a brand deal from a major footwear brand, you know, you're not going to be able to monetize in this space. And it potentially could be one of the most lucrative categories for you. And we can bring you that type of quality that you know and love from other products out there. We can bring that to this, you know, and we can also do it different. We can make you stand out and be innovative. Like, you're going to embrace NFT technology. We're going to give you a digital version at the time as well. And I think he bought into that concept and saw the passion that I had and that the team had for wanting to do this with him. And not everyone sees that all the time when you're pitching them. So his team basically is like, okay, give us a contract. So, you know, fortunately I have some family that are attorneys, so they helped me out with that. And we got him a contract, you know, pretty quickly. But it took some time, took a little bit, a couple of weeks after till we got him on it and signed. And it was significant, you know, to be able to get an opportunity like that. I think, you know, part of it was the timing of it, that everybody was interested in doing something in the NFT space at the time and he didn't have a project yet. And then also the fact that he understood it. You know, sometimes people pitch others on ideas and they don't fully understand the target audience. And he understood, hey, I like shoes. I am in the space. I enjoy it. Let me actually make something that's my own, even if I don't fully understand the NFT components overall. And so we got that together. And one of the biggest promotional opportunities for it was the Full Send podcast. I had the opportunity to be on the Full Send podcast with him and put it together, help with that, and which had around 4 million views, that podcast. And that did a lot of wonders for us and helped put that together through a friend of mine, Casey, who happened to know one of the managers behind the scenes and called him up. And he just met this, you know, one of them like 3 days before, and we connected it all. And then we're on a yacht in Miami shooting this podcast. So a lot of great opportunities came from it.
I mean, if I'm going to shoot a podcast, I want to be on a yacht in Miami. Like, there's no other place. Maybe a yacht in Monaco, but I mean, a yacht in Miami sounds incredible. It seems to me like you're really good at seeing opportunities and then going for those opportunities, but also being able to get other people to buy into your vision, which I think is what Steve Jobs did so well. Is, you know, he's the visionary, which it sounds like you are too. You're the visionary and you're getting people to buy into your vision. And it sounds like you're very passionate about this. So what do you see as being next? What are you doing next? I don't know if you can talk about any projects, maybe touch on your podcast as well.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, just to kind of talk about the point you just mentioned, like having a vision, I think is so important. You have to have a clear direction. Not everybody has a vision and it takes some time to figure out what direction you want to go in. But I think there's an element of respect and it's much easier to convince people to do something if you have a really all-encompassing plan and then they can see the vision that you have. So I think it's a really important aspect, but it's got to be clear how to execute that vision. You need to have steps in order to get to that point and make it clear to them this is not just a, you know, pie in the sky type of idea. This is something that can be real. And I think that that's what he related to there. In terms of what's next, so right now I've been hosting a podcast that has some similarities to what you do. You know, it's called Legends and Leaders because those are the two categories of people we want to interview, you know, people that have done something legendary or a current leader or previous leader. And we've had on some great guests like Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank and Miss Universe from America last year, RP Nola. the person who invented Shazam. But the goal is to break down the steps in people's journeys, because I think that a lot of times you see interviews with people and they're like at a certain point and they've achieved a lot, and you kind of see them when they're at that point, and then they share a little bit before, a little bit after. But like the steps, I think, how did you, you know, get educated in this area? How did you go and scale this? What did it take to get the financing for it? I think those steps are super important overall to you know, just aspiring entrepreneurs, et cetera. And then also working on something else that we're going to unveil soon to kind of tie in, I think, what could potentially be the future for content creators and physical apparel products. And so that's something that we're working on actively getting into. And I think there's a lot of exciting potential.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Hi, I'm Sean Nelson, founder and CEO of Lovesac and host of the Let Me Save You 25 Years podcast. Want to avoid common pitfalls and get straight to the insights that drive success? Join me and recognize names like John Mackey of Whole Foods and Joe DeSena of Spartan as we unpack the hard-earned lessons from their journeys. Ready to streamline your path to success? Listen to Let Me Save You 25 Years on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Let Me Save You 25 Years with Sean Nelson. Listen now.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Ben, I mean, this whole creators economy thing is just, as we know, it's just continuing to be bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, so many companies that I know, they don't even do regular social media ads anymore or traditional advertising, right? They're using user-generated content. They're doing now TikTok Shop, Amazon Live, like all these things. It's really becoming the creator's economy is like the backbone of a lot of marketing and a lot of abilities. But there's also a piece where I don't see a lot of times where creators do something that is successful without them selling somebody else's products, right? Or somebody else's brand. So how do you see that going? Do you see creators just continuing to sell other people's items, or are they going to make their own items? And if so, how can a creator be successful if they're building their own brand?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Daniel. I think that content creators are going to get the same opportunities that athletes have currently. I mean, they've got just as much reach as these athletes. They have just as much influence, and arguably they have more influence in certain areas because they're the ones posting content and interacting with their audiences every single day. Athletes, a lot of their fame is a derivative of the performance that they have. You know, you perform well in a basketball game, you gain a certain amount of following, just like we just saw over the Olympics with guys like Noah Lyles, you know, gained an incredible following after his performances with racing. And that's great and all, and they can interact with their audience. But a lot of these content creators, it's their job is to grow an audience every single day. So I think that that's just a bit different. And there's, I think that the athlete level opportunities will be provided to this type of talent class to have their own products, to have products that really embody what their brand is about. And there are some that are building their own brands, but I think that's just going to go and really become a much bigger portion of these people's revenue and not just focus as much on ads, because they've got the audiences and now there needs to be somebody that really offers to them the opportunity that also puts them on the same pedestal that athletes are, with that type of quality of product, with the opportunities to scale globally like athletes have, and really the entire supply chain that's the same, if not even better, for these types of people. So when that happens, I think that's when this creator economy will become really a whole different place. And it will also inspire a new generation to go after their dreams and the opportunities that they want, because they'll be able to be in the products of the people that they admire and they love. And right now, you know, it's not like everybody looks up to be, you know, to be an athlete, and it's really shifted a lot. Last number I saw, it's like 50% of the youth wants to be content creators. You know, they want to go after that type of dream and ambition. They want to be a YouTuber, a Twitch streamer, etc. So we need to give them the opportunities to dream and believe that. And what better way through apparel and other things in that category?
How do you feel about college? So, you know, if I could be a creator and maybe I don't need to go to college, or I can get a job, I don't need to go to college, or maybe I do need to go to college. There's a lot of back and forth dialogue around this. I'm curious on your perspectives at being the age that you are and the experiences that you're having. So how do you see this? Should somebody go and be a creator, maybe try entrepreneurship, maybe the both, or go to school? What are your opinion on this?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good question. I think the college right now, it really just depends on who the person is. Some people maybe aren't cut out for college, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can go on any path and become successful. I really truly believe that that's possible. But college is something that I went through. I learned a lot from being in college, because I thought that the discipline and, you know, you learn a certain regimen that is like a work-life balance for you later on. I think that those things are helpful. You do get exposed to interesting ideas. I was fortunate to have New York City as the campus that I was on. So, you know, there's so many opportunities in New York City if you want to take advantage of it. You know, for example, because I was in New York, I went to this talk at Cornell Tech, and they had the president of Microsoft at the time. And this was when they were trying to deal with like AI and how to make AI not biased on certain things. And so I just walked up to him and gave him some advice on that. And then later Microsoft wound up putting something out that had some similarities to what we discussed. And at the time he told me, he's like, that was a good idea. You know, that is an interesting angle. So you never know what can come of it. And I got to learn a lot from him and from other people in the area. So there are certain opportunities that can arise. I think that you've got to be mindful of the expenses that come with college. But statistics show that 50%, you wind up earning like 50% more if you have a college degree versus not, if you do go into that field. But as somebody who's an entrepreneur, I think it's a nice fallback. You know, it's something that I've got a college degree. It can be reputable for raising money from funds. They see, hey, you went to this college. They know a certain kind of product comes out of that college. So there are other benefits, even if you're an entrepreneur and you're not using it for a job, that can come from that.
Wow. I could say one thing about you is that you are a go-getter. Like, you have no problem going up to somebody and talking to them. Like, who would have gone up to the president of Microsoft at that time and given them advice when they're in college? I think a lot of people would have imposter syndrome or just don't think that they should even do that. And how's that going to be? But I can tell that is not something that impacts you negatively. Like, you go up there, you make it happen. That's super inspiring. And so I hope a lot of people see this, and I hope they're also inspired. If people want to get in touch with you, they want to find out more, because I know you have tons more things coming up on the pipeline. How can they do so?
Yeah, they could reach out to me on LinkedIn or any other social media, Instagram, Twitter, or X. Any of those would be good. But I think, just like Daniel, you know, it's important that you go and you try to, you know, to go after what you want in life. And what, you know, what's really the worst that could happen if I didn't go talk to the president of Microsoft? And, you know, I would have gained nothing, no other potential knowledge from that. And even if I shared with him an idea and he didn't like the idea, you know, okay, so that's that. Maybe he doesn't remember me. I mean, there's nothing really to lose. So, you know, if you have nothing to lose, then might as well talk to him, right?
Hey, I like that. If you got nothing to lose, there's been some times where I'm regretful in life. Like, man, I should have talked to that person. Like, I was right there. Then I had times where I did talk to somebody. I said the dumbest stuff ever, but at least I did talk to them. So at least I could say I talked to this person, because if I didn't, I'd be more regretful. Yeah, I think you're more regretful when you don't do something than when you make a mistake and you do something.
100%.
So, you know, take that to heart. But I appreciate you, Ben. Always great having you. Love the show, podcast. Thank you for also having me on as a guest. And man, you got to come back, because I can't wait to see what you're working on next. I know you got some stealth projects, something in the works that you're working on. So love to follow up with that as well, and see you again here on Founder Story.
thanks for having me on. I love what you're doing. I think it's great for entrepreneurs and others to learn from people's stories, and I think you do a nice job hosting. So thanks for this.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.